Yeah, I do that with the morning show during the Sprague. I'll wake up because, you know, they start at 6 a.m., which I am not awake for. And so I'll get on the Odyssey app, and you can actually look at the show. And the producer, Jason Swigart, does a phenomenal job of naming the chapters as the show is going. So say it's 7:30 in the morning, I'm getting ready, but I want to jump back and listen to what they were talking about at 6:30 because it was maybe Blazers related or draft, you know, whatever. And I want to hear it so I can go back while the show is live. I can go back an hour and listen to whatever segment that they had.
Well, that sounds awesome.
It's a pretty cool Odyssey app feature. I'm not going to lie. I am not just shilling for the company right now. That is actually something that is I use quite often because, yeah, they might have something that I want to hear them talk about. So
I only listen to our missed. Show.
You only just go back and podcast
just sports.
And
no, actually, I've never listened to our show.
Hey, you got
to
watch film. Right?
I hate the sound of my own voice.
You got to watch film. You got to. Where can I get better, right, Coach?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can also watch it on YouTube later if you want to do that. But something that you might need to do and go to the 1080 The Fan website for is to go buy your foursome for the 1080 The Fan Golf Classic at Langdon Farms on June 24th, baby.
I'm going this year, so come say what's up to
you. Are you
boy.
Playing?
I don't know if I'm going to play because I'm pretty terrible, but I mean, I don't want to embarrass myself out there. Like, you guys really play. Like, I'm not trying to go out there and embarrass myself.
Oh, I'm back, baby. I was having a...
I know you said the last time I saw you, you said you were feeling real good about
your
stroke.
I was a shell of myself last year. I think it was when I fell through my roof, my ceiling, and broke my ribs.
That can do it.
That it changed my swing a little bit, got a little too army, a little too wristy with it. And now, my hips are oily. I'm getting through my swing. I'm an athlete out there again. And went and shot one of my best rounds recently.
Well, congratulations.
So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
That's
going
good.
Into the golf season.
That's good.
But the Van Golf Classic, your Toyota dealers present the 11th annual. The 11th annual, man. We're on 11 years. Should have been more because we missed a couple years due to COVID.
Yeah.
But this is the 11th annual Van Golf Classic at Langdon Farms. Beautiful course. Can't wait to get out there and play again. Again, Tuesday, June 24th. Brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and by Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. Morning and afternoon rounds as usual. Matt's Barbecue going to be there once again.
Shout out to Matt's.
Serving up some BBQ.
Phenomenal. Get that brisket.
You know, it's a simple but just awesome item that they bring out. The pickled onions.
My favorite.
Purple,
I like the pickles too.
Dude, 100%. Those things are banging.
Yeah,
love them.
It's a nice little, you know, accompaniment for the barbecue.
Yes. So foursomes, they can be purchased right now. Go to 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo for details and the link to purchase. The guys will be stationed at hole number 6 again this year, so you can get the golfing wisdom from Isaac and Suk, Dirt and Sprague, Danny, Dusty. I'm sure Schultzy will be out there. I'll be out there at some point. I made the mistake last year playing in both rounds. And
no, you got to take a drinking break, buddy.
I will not. If I do play a round this year, I want to make sure it's the afternoon round because also I got clients out there that are they've got holes. And I noticed that when I was there in the morning trying to play golf and there were some clients that needed some help or needed something and they were calling me. It just did not go well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Got to be on call, man.
Yes, yes. So I'll probably be out stationed out at hole number 6. I'll be Angels MV Bourbon that will be out there this year.
That's a great place to set up shop.
Yes, very much so. So we will all be hanging out, kicking it. You should come out too. Even if you don't golf, just come out and say what's up.
Yeah, you can watch me shank the ball like 5 feet in front of me.
Insurance policy ahead of time.
Might be a good idea.
Yeah, might want to call someone on that. Listen, I need a cover just in case I absolutely skull somebody with
yeah, we've got a policy
golf
for that.
Ball. Yeah, can you take care of that?
It's like, I don't know what direction it's going. It may not go far, but it might, and then...
I just want it to leave where it is. I don't care which way it goes, left or right. Just don't be... I don't want to swing. Like, man, where'd it go? And, it's still right here on the tee.
And last year, I came probably 2 inches, 2 ball rotations away from my first ever hole-in-one.
Yes, you did.
I was there for that. Oh, my God. I still got the picture. It was literally just almost there. I almost made Andy Dirt Johnson quit golf because of that.
He was pretty pissed.
He said the next day on air that if Joe Fisher would have gotten a hole-in-one before I ever did, and Andy Johnson is very good at golf. that he would have quit golf. He would have just given up at that point.
Oh, don't give up, man.
Which would have been give up. Now I kind of regret not making that hole in one.
You don't quit around here, Dirt.
But I'm stoked for it. It's kind of like the fan birthday party. Like, it's the event. Like, that is where everybody is at. It's, you know, what everybody waits for all year. We're less than 2 months away now.
I can't wait. And I've never been. Every year, because I, you know, work for a nonprofit, so when summertime came around, I was always super busy during the Fan Classic, so I could never make it out there. So I'd be listening to the show or listening to guys, oh, yeah, we're out here having fun. I'm like, ugh. And I can never go. Not this year, though.
Well, this year. I think what we're going to do also, like what we did last year, was we will not be broadcasting that day. I think we're going to be doing best of shows during the broadcast. So if you want to be a part of the Fan Golf Classic, you got to be a part of the Fan Golf Classic. You got to get out there. Again, that hole number six, if you are golfing, that's awesome because we're all just hanging out there. I feel like that's something that is very rare for our station, for our guys on the weekdays. Like, they maybe see each other once or twice a year, if that, you know, and getting all of them together to hang out on a hole.
Man,
yeah,
it never happens. Yeah. Like, and that's how, you know, honestly, last week when we got a chance to say goodbye to Boss Man for his, you know, retirement, that's the first time I've seen everybody in one space. I want to say since maybe Hunt for the Host.
Yeah.
Like every fan personality.
Wow.
And the second one, like, you know, Patrick's, you know, winning year. Like, so it very seldom happens. Even, you know, for people that don't know, like, yes, we all know each other here at the Fan. But we very seldom see each other. Like Dirt and Sprague's, like Joe was just saying, their show starts at 6 a.m. So they don't really see Danny and Dusty when they come in. I'm a Sunday guy, so I never see anybody during the week. And so it's always good to get around my guys and trade some stories and, you know, all that stuff. So it's always good for us to see each other. So we'd love to see you too.
Yep. Hole number six. So everybody will be out there and then we'll be mingling around the red shed. And yeah, it'll be a great time. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I'm like a kid on Christmas.
And it's your favorite thing too. Like it's your favorite day and it's because it's your favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Yeah. So everything that you want there is there's booze, there's barbecue, there's golf.
Well, and even if I don't golf with anyone that day, it's still just fun driving around in the cart, boozing it up. We basically, it's almost like a, you know, it's like a booze
bachelor
golf tournament.
Party.
It's like a booze golf tournament with radio incorporated. There's going to be, I think, at 4, 5, 6 holes with sampling as well.
As soon as we incorporate some dancers, man, it's going to be like the best trip.
Well, we can't do that. I've heard the infamous story of the fangirls that used to be out.
I remember the fangirls.
That used to be out at the golf tournament.
I've worked here long enough to have been around for the fangirls.
Did the listeners ruin that or did the employees ruin that?
I think the
probably a little bit of both.
The culture has changed a little bit over the years.
Well, duh.
I heard of the dunk tank. Was a thing one year when we had a dunk tank
with
at
the
a hole.
Girls?
Well, I think like the story,
and that's why they got canceled.
Yeah, well, I think there was a story where there was going. Like this old, this younger promotions gal that was like, "I'll get the dunk tank," and all the golfers were like, "Yeah, you should totally."
Yeah. Like, gosh darn it, guys, act like you've been in the end zone before, you idiots.
And then Swag was like, "I'll get in the dunk tank,"
and everyone's like, "No."
Yeah,
okay, Swag. I also heard about the story of him. Like, they were doing updates, not from the driving range, from, like, a dinghy on the pond. Like, so Swag had, like, a little boat out there.
Oh, the little paddle boats.
Yeah,
yes.
He was just, like, out, like, he was out in a boat in one of the ponds out there. And no one told him that, like, hey, you can come back. And so he was just out on this boat for hours on end doing updates.
I'm just here.
And it was someone's like, is anybody going to go tell him that he doesn't need to be in the boat anymore?
Just let him. Just let him hang out out there. It looks like he's having
floating
fun.
Around out there.
Yeah. He's having fun. We'll tell him later.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's get to our worst draft predictions that we can ever remember ourselves. Because I have one in particular, two. That I can think of. I've been going through some of these the drafts of over the last like 10, 15 years from like the Wayback Machine and looking at some guys where I'm like, oh yeah, I thought he was going to be pretty good. But there's two that I remember specifically. So we'll get into that next. You can text into the text line 503 864-6326 with some of your missed draft picks as well. We do that next year, Sports Sunday, Danny and the Fan. One that I can think of, and it was long ago. I'm trying to think of what year this was. I got to type his name in to see what. I think this was maybe 2008? 2009? Something like that? Yeah, 2009.
Way so back
I was still in high school at that point. I was a junior at Sherwood High School. Go
Bowman.
Rocking
some skinny jeans and some Vans?
I think by that point I was out of my Avenged Sevenfold phase.
Okay.
And was starting to gravitate more towards, exactly, hip-hop. Yeah, exactly. I was going back to my roots.
Were you ever a rapper, Joe? I could see you in Sherwood saying, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had bars.
Yeah, I'd love to hear those at some point.
I wanted to be a ghostwriter for the longest time because I thought that I had really good lines, really good bars, but I myself did not sound good on the mic.
Well, let's hear some. 5, 6, 7,
oh, God.
8.
No. I'm sure I could go back and find some of the lines I had.
I think it's just the rite of passage as a young man. Like, I gotta, you know, even if it's for a week.
My buddy had a whole studio in the garage.
Same here.
Blackwater Music, baby.
100, man. Really? Varsity Records over here, man. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, we were on point, man. We still, actually, to this day, like, I don't make music anymore, but every now and then I'll find myself rapping in my head and stuff like that, but it's been a long time. I think that's one of those things you got to do. Got to do.
The pick that I thought was going to be surefire, and it is has a local tie to it, 2009 fourth overall pick for your Seattle Seahawks, Aaron Curry. He was a linebacker at Wake Forest.
He was a beast.
Yeah, I believe he went fourth overall, and I was dead set. One of my biggest, like, and this was before I knew even more about football and how to, like, kind of, like, analyze players and if they'd be good. The number one reason I thought he'd be good is, like, that guy loves football.
For sure.
That guy loves football. You can see it in his eyes. He wants to be great. He's going to be great. Aaron Curry's going to be the next best linebacker in the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He
was on Seattle for 2.5 seasons before getting traded. And I honestly have not gone back and gotten the oral history of Aaron Curry and why he was so bad. My guess is that he just was not good and was not up to playing up to his potential as the number 4 overall pick. This was before the Legion of Boom Seahawks as well. So as far as like paying attention to them. This was, I think, post Matt Hasselbeck as well. I don't know if he was still on the team. I did not pay attention to the Seahawks nearly as much as I do now, obviously, with
hated
them.
The Seahawks,
you know,
then. I can stand them now. I can stomach them now, but I hated them when I was a kid.
But yeah, I just remember Aaron Curry ended up not being a good player at all. And that was one that I was dead set on. The second one, Josh Rosen.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
That was
the guy.
He went, I think, ninth overall.
Yeah, he went before Lamar.
And that was one where I was like,
Way before Lamar.
Crazy.
He was, I think, my favorite quarterback in that draft.
He was so good at UCLA. Like, he could hit every blade of grass out there. Like, you couldn't tell me Josh Rosen wasn't going to be the guy.
Yeah, I definitely thought that. Yeah, he was going to be good and
wasn't. It'd be like that sometimes. Like, it's hard to watch college, you know, because there are guys that are dominant in college and then just get to the next level and they are trash for whatever reason. I was a huge Hurricane fan, especially in high school. Like, you know, like right around sophomore year, maybe freshman year, like all of our team would get together and we would watch games on Saturday. And it was typically like Miami or watching Virginia Tech and watching Mike Vick play and stuff like that. But Ken Dorsey was so good at Miami, so freaking good at Miami. And I thought he's the next Peyton Manning. Like, he's the next guy that's going to come to the NFL and completely tear things apart. This man had 8 touchdowns and 18 interceptions in 4 years as an NFL player.
And is now my Cowboys passing game specialist. So let's go. After getting fired from Buffalo last year. So,
oh, hey, yeah, good pickup there.
Things are looking great.
Another one of those guys, and again, if we're just even talking like more recent, there's no way you couldn't have told me Jadeveon Clowney wasn't going to be the best defensive player in football.
And he has carved out a career.
He's had a career.
He's had moments,
but I thought,
as far as the hype of him coming into the NFL to what you got, he has not lived up to his potential, the hype that was around him.
I think sometimes when you have like a crazy highlight or a couple of crazy highlights, people kind of remember that more than everything else. We remember that huge hit that he had, and I can't remember who he hit and what team they were playing against, but that one huge drill that he had at that point was the reason that he was drafted, I want to say was second overall that year. He's been not pedestrian, but he's had one year where he was really good, but for the most part, he's been just a serviceable at best NFL player, and I'd have never thought seeing him come out and do that was crazy, man. So
I'll go a little biased here, but I really did think Marcus Mariota was going to be like him at the quarterback
position.
Especially
coming from the Northwest, there's no way he wasn't going to tear the world apart.
Well, I know the Pac-10 at the time was producing. I mean, we've produced good quarterbacks in the NFL, at least like, you know, to a backup level. Like there have been a lot of competent. Nick Foles was a Pac-10 quarterback, Super Bowl winner. A lot of competent quarterbacks from that conference in the NFL. Mariota looked like the best of all of them. Injuries, unfortunately, just kind of made him play scared. After you get hit so many times in the pocket in the NFL, it's like, okay, I'm losing my mojo.
When
and
you play for the Titans, that's just what happens. Yeah, it's almost like quarterback purgatory, right? Like if you go to the Titans team, just look at any of the past four quarterbacks drafted by the Titans. It's worked out for none of them. Ryan Tannehill, it didn't work out.
Well, he wasn't drafted. They signed him.
No, they signed him. Excuse me. So
yeah, they picked him up later. He was a Miami
still,
signer.
Even still, like, that didn't work. You know, Mariota
worked out for a little bit, and then
like 2-3 seasons for Tannehill.
A season and a half.
That was because of Vrabel, right?
That was the end of the, or that was during Vrabel. Yeah, because Vrabel, he got the job when Marcus was basically finishing out at Tennessee. I want to say, like, it was the last like year or two of. Cause now I'm trying to remember who the Titans coach was when Mariota was there. Was it? I don't think it was Wisenhunt at one point.
Wisenhunt sounds familiar. I'm trying to find out who was the offensive coordinator. Gosh, dang, it keeps telling me it's McDaniels back in New England. I know! I want to find out who it was in Tennessee.
But Jake Locker, eighth overall to the Titans at one point. Remember Zach Mettenberger?
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator. Don't really know the guy.
So. No. Yeah, Jordan, any other picks that you were dead set on?
I can't think of anybody that I'm dead set on, but I want to go opposite and somebody I thought that was a bust. That would be one Josh Allen out of the University of Wyoming.
Oh, you didn't think
that
was were one of those guys.
So I was one of those guys because we saw Oregon play him. I had seen a couple of his games because, you know, just nothing else to do late on a Saturday night. So, yeah, why not watch a Wyoming v. Montana game? And I just thought his footwork wasn't there. I thought, yes, the arm is there, but everybody was falling for that prototypical NFL-size quarterback argument, and I didn't think he was going to be that good. But, I was wrong.
I got one for you guys. One, Tim Tebow.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Tim Tebow was, again, you talking about a god amongst men when he was in college, and then got to the NFL and had some success his rookie year. We forget that Tim Tebow took his team to the playoffs.
I still remember where I was, that Steelers playoff game, and them winning it.
Yeah, we won a playoff game. Like, Tim Tebow, for his rookie year,
he was almost like the Jeremy Lin almost of NFL.
It was
Lin
Sanity for one year, and then it was kind of over from there, and he could never really recapture that magic. But Tim Tebow was somebody that I think we thought coming to the NFL he wasn't going to miss. And, you know, and it's usually, for me, it's a lot of quarterbacks that kind of, we don't see them coming if they end up being good, or if we do see them coming, it's like all the pressure on the world. And then Matt Leinart, again, Heisman winner, won almost every single game in college. You couldn't tell me like Matt Leinart in a good situation wasn't going to be a great quarterback, and he just wasn't.
Well, one
it happens
of the,
like that.
One of the quarterbacks that, you know, you talk about like the prototypical size, you know, tall. I thought that Paxton Lynch maybe had a little something.
That's a good one.
Oh, Paxton
coming out of Memphis, and I was like, dude,
tears
I don't know.
On he the
side. Went to the Broncos, right?
Yes, went to the Broncos. Yeah, and that did not work out well there either. Just again, going through some of these drafts of years past, dude, I'm looking at the 2013 NFL draft. My God, this might be one of the worst like top 15 that I have seen in a while. Maybe 16, 17. I'm gonna throw out some names for you. Number 2 overall in this, Luke Jokel, tackle for the Jaguars. I mean, he did not play. I mean, he had to have had a 7-8 year career. There's no way that, I mean, I don't think he was in the league that long. Yeah, 2017 was the last time he played. So he was in the league for barely 4 or 5 seasons. Deion Jordan, number three.
Oh, Deion yeah. Jordan. Deion wow. Jordan.
Barkevious Mingo, six overall.
Barkevious Mingo, what a name.
Tavon Austin, as far as yes. being an absolute electric player in college and not really replicating it in NFL. D. Milner, cornerback for the Jets, definitely not in the league anymore. DJ Hayden, number 12 for the Raiders, a cornerback, another bust out of that draft. EJ Manuel, 16th overall for the Bills.
That was a bad
Jarvis Jones, waste. 17th overall for the Steelers. That was a dude coming out of Georgia as a linebacker that people were like, oh, that's a great pickup for the Steelers. They just keep adding him over there in Pittsburgh. And he did jack squat after like 1 or 2 years.
Well, you gotta pick showing somebody, some, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, that was one I remember when they got Jarvis Jones, the Steelers, I was just like, damn it, dude. That was something I wanted the Cowboys to pick up in the draft. And then, sure enough.
I remember I thought the Anthony Thomas was going to be just super good as a returner and stuff like that in the NFL. It just never worked out like that for him.
Yeah, so I think it goes to say that sometimes we don't know what the hell we're talking about. And then there's other players where I'm also trying to think, like, what were some picks or players that they did get picked? And then they ended up becoming a great player, and I was like, I knew it. I knew they'd be great. I mean, quite Ooh. Frankly, as far as more recently, I've always believed in Justin Herbert. I feel like from the beginning of his freshman year at Oregon, some of the things I saw there progressed throughout the rest of his career. And then going into, yeah, I was like, dude, he has the arm. He has everything you need as a quarterback. Leader, smart. Like, I always believed he was going to be a great quarterback. Did I think he was going to be this great this soon? Like, it was literally game one. He had to get thrown in because Tyrod Taylor got the injection in his ribs and, like, last minute before week one, and then Herbert was starting, and he literally has not looked back since.
I for me, it was Lamar Jackson. I remember being so pissed watching the draft. Like, how the hell does everybody keep passing on him? What's going on? And then I remember looking at him just kind of laying on with his head on the table, like, this is not going to happen for me, is it? Like, and I felt so bad for him. And then I remember telling my man, he's going to make everybody pay for that. He's going to make everybody pay for that. Now here we are, two MVPs later. The only thing missing from his mantle is a Super Bowl trophy. And so he was the one guy that I can remember. There's probably some more that I can remember, but just thinking back more recently, Lamar Jackson's the guy that I was like, I don't see how everybody passed on him.
I know one that I got, and it's and I actually got the tweet to back it up. Dak Prescott. I wanted the Cowboys to draft Dak Prescott back in 2016. I think I have a tweet somewhere that I was like, this is what I want our first four picks to be, or whatever, like rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I said, round 4, I want the Cowboys to get Dak Prescott. Round 4, they got Dak Prescott. And I think in that draft, I said that I wanted them, instead of Ezekiel Elliott, I did not want them to get Zeke. I wanted them to get Jalen Ramsey. So that also is one that would have worked out if the Cow, you know, like Jalen Ramsey, all pro.
For a couple years.
He's still good.
He's still good.
He's still good. What are we talking about? Good,
but he's not the Jalen Ramsey he was.
No, but he's still a great player.
He's still good, though.
So, yeah, those are a couple just off the top of my head that I know that I was on as far as I wanted these guys, or I think they're going to be good. Herbert, Dak, and then I guess Jalen Ramsey there.
I'll throw one on the last part of that conversation. Former Beaver running back Steven Jackson.
Oh, my gosh.
Drafted by my Rams back in, like, 2003 or 4. And he was, like, a mid-20s or late-20s pick. Not necessarily guaranteed to succeed in the NFL, but I remember both my dad, a huge Beavers fan, he's like, gotta get Steven Jackson, he's gonna work. And we had just come off of watching Marshall Faulk lead the greatest show on turf, you know, to 2 Super Bowls, 1 win. So it was like an obvious fit for us, and we just knew, I don't know how we knew it, but we knew he was gonna do so well in the NFL, and he had a successful, what, decade-long career.
I'll stick right there with you in Oregon State, watching Chad Johnson and TJ Houshmandzadeh play there, and you're like, these are NFL receivers for sure. Like, the things that they're going to do in the next level. And then the both of them get to the next level and completely dominate as receivers. That was like, that was one of those things. Oregon State for a minute, Oregon State was it. Like, it wasn't U of O, at least not to me. It was Oregon State that was pumping out these great, great NFL players.
All right, I found the tweet. Date marked April 28th, 2016. If there's one quarterback in the draft I'd be comfortable with the Cowboys taking, it's Dak Prescott, no higher than the fourth round.
Wow.
You need to print that out and frame it, Joe.
That is...
Joe Kuiper over here.
Hey. Look at you.
That is me calling my shot and it coming to fruition. That is probably the best draft prediction I've ever had.
Well, I'm going to make a draft prediction right now. The Blazers are getting it at the first overall pick in this year's draft.
Please, God.
I said it right here. What's today's date? 27th of March? Of April, excuse me. Blazers get the number one.
Tweet it. Yeah. Let's take a break, and actually, let's get into some NBA. We've got playoffs.
Why not?
Going on right now. We actually have one series wrapped up, but plenty of other series still going. Do that next here. But first, Schultzy, SportsCenter update. NBA playoffs are in full throttle right now. We have one series that wrapped up, and that was the Oklahoma City Thunder beating the Memphis Grizzlies. They absolutely just mopped the floor with them in games one and two. Ja goes down in game three. They make the 26-27 point comeback and win game three.
No cameras, please.
And then they win game four by the skin of their teeth, 117-115. But the Thunder are sitting and waiting for the winner of the Nuggets-Clippers series, which is easily the best series of the playoffs so far.
100%.
Game two was some of the best playoff basketball that I have ever seen. Just trading blows, buckets, physical. I have just had an absolute blast watching that series. Unfortunately, I did not watch nearly as much of the game last night as I should have. But another just great game there where the Clippers almost come back from 20 points down. And Aaron Gordon gets the put back with 0.1 seconds left to give the Nuggets the dub and tie the series at two. That series, though, so much fun. And I am very intrigued. Now, Oklahoma City, whoever they play out of this series, like, they're going to be the favorites, but you want to talk about the young guard versus the old guard in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you play if you play the Clippers and they advance, you're playing James Harden and you're playing Kawhi Leonard, the old heads out there going against the younger guys, and then to the Nuggets to an extent, right? Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and then of course Nikola Jokic. Like, these are seasoned veterans, and then
champions. You still,
yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So I'm very intrigued to see how that series goes, and that's going to be a proving ground. They should be favored. They should win that next series, but they're going to have their work cut out for them, and it's not going to be, it will be wild if it's like a 4-1 Thunder series win and they just, you know,
yeah,
waltz through to the Western Conference Finals. That will be impressive.
No, it definitely will. And you know, that's the great thing about the playoffs is teams that should win don't. Sometimes, and we see them go down.
The Thunder last year,
yeah, right. You see in a 7-game series against a really talented team, thing, especially a veteran team, things might not go the way you want them to. Like, the Grizzlies are still a very young team, right? And they were without their star, and Ja Morant is still very, you know, immature as a leader, and so you kind of expect them to run over them. But I don't expect them to run over the Thunder, or excuse me, run over the Clippers, you know, with James Harden, who played great last night. And
Kawhi Leonard is playing amazing.
He's playing
right
like
now.
Kawhi again. And James Harden is looking efficient and he's playing great defense. He had maybe four or five great defensive plays yesterday. And I was like, that's the James Harden that played in OKC. That's the guy that was the defensive stopper guarding Kobe and guarding everybody else that he needed to during that run. Was that James Harden on defense right now? Now that he's there, Norm Powell is playing great basketball.
Ivica Zubac is having an amazing year.
Oh, my gosh. Mind you.
Probably his best.
They won that game. The Nuggets won that game yesterday, but they were up 22 at a point. Mm-hmm. The Clips had to come back and roar back from 22 down to take the lead at one point. And Jokic at the end of the game just did some Jokic stuff. A turnaround jumper, splash, in your mouth. Take that. And then James Harden comes down. They score on the other end, tie the game up. Like, that Aaron Gordon is the most underrated, probably most undervalued player in the league. We never talk about Aaron Gordon unless we're talking about the dunk contest. That's the only time we ever really talk about Aaron Gordon. Last night's dunk was the highlight of his career, outside of winning that championship, obviously. Finishing that dunk at that point, sealing the game for that team, was the best dunk that he's ever did.
Are they built to hold up, though, throughout the playoffs? They have no bench.
Right? No.
It's like Russell, and that's it,
no.
Right?
Again, that's why, like,
and he's hurt, and he didn't play yesterday, so.
If the Nuggets advance, like, the Thunder are going to be favored they should be. They're deeper. Yeah. They're longer. They're more athletic. Like, they just, they check all the boxes of the Nuggets. Yes, the Nuggets have the best player in the world, but you're right. They're playing two rookies out there with minutes.
Coach Adelman has no experience.
You really only have six dudes you're comfortable with playing if you're the Nuggets. So
and the one thing about the Clips is they can go kind of deep on their bench if they want to.
They have like four former Blazers on their roster.
Absolutely.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I saw Patty Mills on the bench yesterday.
Patty hit a three at the end of the game in game two. I was like, what is this?
So my wife is saying, how many former Blazers are on these teams? I was like, man, there's a lot of them on both of these teams.
Basically, everybody that would have worked out in Portland as a supporting member for a cast of Damian Lillard, they kind of poo-pooed them and said, nah, Neil was done with them.
You can go over there. But I've told you guys, I think the Clippers are as good a team as anybody in the Western Conference right now. And I do think the Clippers can not just beat the Thunder, but they can win. Like, I think they got everything that you would need your team to have. They can shoot. They can defend. You've got two star players that can get a bucket whenever they want to, for the most part. You've got a big man inside that can block shots, change shots, rebound, and score inside. You got a bench. You got Ben Simmons, the most underrated player on their team right now, because he just comes in. I don't need to score. I'm just going to shut down the best defensive player. I think they lost last night because Ben Simmons wasn't on the floor at the end of that game. That's just me.
The other series in the West, Lakers-Timberwolves, where the Timberwolves have a 2-1 lead now after winning in Minnesota on Friday night. I don't know what to say if the Lakers lose that series. And also, I was thoroughly disappointed in my son and his buddy on Friday night. Just the absolute glazing for the Lakers and LeBron. I could not believe that. I was like, this is a Blazer household. We do not do this here, all right?
He's Jordan.
They start playing the LeBron music, the man on the Lakers or whatever, and then the other version.
LeBron.
Yeah. It is just, it's sickening.
He did. I want to be like Mike. Sorry. Listen, he actually did have
He had
that,
songs actually. For Michael Jordan.
He did.
Like, sometimes I dream he is me. Like, really? That was a whole thing. Bum, ba dum, bum, bum. Like, it was a great thing. So I'm glad that
LeBron
is being celebrated towards the end
better.
Of his career. He wasn't what?
Michael wasn't a douche.
Who wasn't a douche?
MJ.
Michael Jordan?
He was way better to kids. He was way better to people.
Than LeBron?
Are we talking about the same Michael Jordan?
I'm pretty sure LeBron literally opened up an entire school.
We're talking about the same Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan.
He gave money. Okay.
Man, yeah, you were.
I wasn't around.
Agree
but,
to disagree for that one.
All right. I've seen him giving autographs to kids. It looked like he was more. All right.
I was going to say, if the Lakers lose that series, I mean, that's going to be one of those that you're the three seed. You got
meltdown.
LeBron and Luka.
Classic
like
meltdown.
What? There is no reason you guys should be losing that. And if AE. And those Timberwolves, they end up pulling out the victory in this series. I mean, it's just another feather in the cap for Anthony Edwards in his career. I swear, that dude is going to win an MVP one day. NBA championship. Joey asked me, my son, he was like, who do you want to see to win the championship? I'm like, I don't know if I really have a rooting interest in any team that's still in it. I was like, I think seeing the Timberwolves pull off a crazy run and winning it all, I was like, that'd be kind of cool. And so, like, I guess that's my team that I'm rolling with, whether it's going to happen or not. We'll see, but I would love to see AE just put the team on his back and have a MJ-esque kind of run in propelling them to an NBA championship. It's going to be tough.
I'm kind of off Anthony Edwards.
I know
it's hard for me to want this young man to succeed now, just considering like the weirdness that he's been doing.
I just love his game.
He's amazing. He's amazing to watch.
I know where you're going.
He's amazing to watch. Like I said, my Clippers, because they are my Clippers, and that's what they will be referred to moving forward. Is my Clippers, and that's who I'm really kind of rooting for. Who in this playoffs right now is starving for a championship more than James Harden? There's nobody right now that's playing that needs a championship to validate his career more than that man. Nobody. Maybe Westbrook. Westbrook is the only other person, again, an MVP, all the triple-doubles. Everybody's going to say, who cares when he retires? He doesn't have a ring. James Harden, as a leader of this team, absolutely, positively has
you know,
to win a
even looking on the East, I'm trying to look at some teams. I mean, I guess you could maybe say like the Knicks and Carl Anthony Towns, the way that he's been playing in this playoff series. I think that he catches a lot of flack because of who he is and how goofy he
after
is.
After all
and,
that, like, yeah.
The SEC, I think that people question his game a lot, and I think that he has moments, and he's shown in this series that he shows why he is was a number one overall pick.
Yes, yeah, yes,
like, he is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Cat is nice. Cat is great.
I would say, yeah, outside of Harden, because he's been around for so long, he's been on the Houston teams, the OKC team. I mean, he's had this 76ers, that you're probably right as far as, like, someone that...
This is his last chance, probably.
Like, yeah, last go at it.
And
yeah.
It's for this Clippers team, this is their last go of it. Like, they tried it with Paul George, it didn't work. Like, this might be the last time we see this Clippers team together. So them winning is going to be super important.
Yeah, and just to, you know, go over the other series, Cavs are about to wrap up against the Heat. Gary Trent Jr. putting the team on his back with the Bucks.
Look at him.
Against the Pacers. They were about to go down 3-0. Now you got game four of that series tonight. Another former Blazer, yep. Knicks Pistons right now are currently in action. The Knicks were up 10 at the end of the first. I mean, they should be wrapping up that series here shortly. Right now they're up 33-21 in the second quarter. And then Celtics Magic. Celtics are going to win that series, but boy, they need Jason Tatum to get healthy. I don't know if he's playing today or not, but
Paolo Banchero is making it really tough for that team. Like, he's putting a lot of pressure, and he's beating them bodies up over there in Boston. So
Tatum's not listed on the injury report, although Jaylen Brown is listed as a game time decision, which I'd say that's just as devastating as well.
He's
I love
best defender
Jaylen
Brown. On the perimeter. Yeah. He's not named Drew Holiday.
Then they'll have Sam Hauser or Peyton Pritchard go off for like 35, or Derek White will go off for 40 randomly.
Well,
like,
they're gonna have to, because Drew Holiday is actually out today too. So Peyton Pritchard probably starting in his stead. I would assume.
Keep an eye on that.
As a great backup for a Drew Holiday or a Derek White, you know, it's Peyton Pritchard. So shout out to, you know, Oregon's own Peyton
the
Pritchard.
Sixth man of the year,
yeah,
Peyton
for
Pritchard.
Sure. Shout out to Peyton Pritchard.
With that Westland...
Best high school player that Oregon's ever
with
had.
With that Westland accent that I've never heard before outside of him.
Have you seen him tweeting out from his beautiful high-rise apartment in Boston? Oh, my God.
Sure,
he is
nice.
Good for Peyton, living the life. He wakes up, he gets to see the sunrise out over that skyline. You earned it, buddy.
Man,
you certainly earned it.
Absolutely.
All right, take a break. Have some fun with audio. Next here, Sports Sunday, 10 of the Fan. This is Cowboys draft pick Tyler Booker. And I know I'm a Cowboys fan, so I love this even more. But I feel like his message and what gives him the joy of football, you want it in every single player on your team, but especially your offensive lineman. You want a psychopath on your line.
For sure.
Go ahead and fire it off, Jordan.
You had one of my favorite quotes of the entire draft process. You said, quote, "I make guys not love football anymore." What does it feel like to see the love of football leave someone's eyes?
It feels great, you know, like football is a child's game. So like people wake up, be like, man, I can't wait to play this football game today. They listen to their hype music. They take all the pre-workout. They get so excited to play football until they come across Tyler Booker. And then when I'm going after you quarter after quarter, play after play, series after series, and I start to see that love leave their eyes. Like, that's what makes me love the game. Like, I just really love.
He's talking to Michael Parsons. Yeah.
Bro,
I'm gonna
play right now.
Yo, he got me hyped. I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
Play after play, quarter after quarter.
Hey, man. Welcome to the team.
Yeah. He had me ready to go there.
Yes, sir.
Listen,
that gives me goosebumps. But again, you got a guy that hasn't been telling. When I start to see that love of the game leave their eyes, that's what makes me love the game.
It reminds me of the Key and Peele sketch with the UFC
Someone
fighters.
Tweeted that out,
yes,
too.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Like, you want that guy. Here's somebody that loves contact. Here's somebody that is ready to be in the trenches, yes, and ready to do all the dirty work. And what he's saying is, when they get tired of hitting me, that's how I know, yeah, I got him. This game is over.
I start to see that love leave their eyes.
When
that's
they break
what
makes
that
me huddle,
love the game.
When they break that huddle and they know they have to line up in front of me again, or they're asking to come out to get a breath, and they're asking to come out and get some water, or they're faking an injury so they can get an extra timeout, I'm doing my job. That's awesome. And if that's what you do it for, you don't do it for, you know, if you're a defensive lineman, you're not doing it to get sacks. You're not doing it for pancakes. If you're an offensive lineman, you're doing it strictly because you love the contact and that's what you were built for. So, yeah, sign me up for that guy all day.
Now, it's easy to say something like that, and then you got to go across Jalen Carter or someone like that.
See, here's the cold part. Now, here's the bad part. Now he's got to deliver on it.
Yeah.
Now you said that, and so we expect you not to wilt when times get tough.
Yeah, I'm again, that was one of those where I'm like, all right, I'm sold. I was like, solid pick.
That's what you say in an interview. That's what you say in an interview.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta. I'm stoked to have that because again, I knew nothing about Tyler Booker from the draft process. Might have seen his name in a mock draft, whatever. Blank slate with him, and that was the first clip that I saw of him in the interview, and I was just like, if that's what we're getting,
sign me up,
100%. I am with that.
Not mad at that.
And I'm pretty sure like that it wasn't in that clip, but later in the interview, Micah Parsons said something along the lines of like, hey, take it easy on me on practice. You know, don't go at me so hard. And he responds, he's like, we got to get better at some point. Right. So even as a rookie talking to Micah Parsons, who is an established all pro on the defensive side, him saying like,
basically,
hey,
nah,
do you want to get better? Yeah. And Micah like, well, yeah, it's like, step all right, up. Let's go.
And that's how you do it.
Let's go to war
every day.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
Well, I wonder what Will Campbell said. Oh, well, you know, football.
I got
fun.
These tiny arms.
I got these tiny hands.
No, right? he is like, I don't know where he's from, but he's definitely got like kind of oafish offensive lineman. Like, you know, I just I like football and I play football.
I'll take him
and
too.
I hit football
and football
and I hit players
yeah.
and football fun.
Yeah.
Put me online. I hit.
Yeah,
we score.
I hit. We score. There it is. I'll take it.
Yeah, and honestly, like I said, as a football fan, it's like. I'm like, yeah, I love football, but the Cowboys, they got me beaten down over the last couple of years. The Ducks and their performance, it's just like, ah, man, you know, football is breaking my heart right now. I heard Tyler Booker say that. Let's go. Yeah. Let's effing go.
Let's go. I love it.
All right. Well, let's effing go. Enjoy the rest of our Sunday. And
pretty nice outside.
Yeah, it's not bad. We had some better days this week, but hey, we're getting more sunlight. That means more twilight golf. It's nice out there, and I hope everybody out there goes and enjoys their Sunday. Rashad, thank you as always.
Appreciate you, my
glad
guy.
Glad to have you back. Jordan Schultz, happy to have you. Glad to have you. Thank you as always.
Yeah, love you guys. Love you all. It's going to be a hell of a week coming up because the playoffs, I think, are about to get really good.
About to ramp up.
Go.
And that hockey. Let's do that hockey, too,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's go, Golden Knights.
All right. Thank you, everybody out there listening. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we will catch you here next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.